Walking worthy is the topic. Okay, here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. Will you turn your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I'm glad you're watching today. And I recommend, as I normally do, that you get your Bible and you study with us. Don't just listen to what I say. Check it out in the Scripture. If you don't have a Bible, may I recommend that you get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the Scripture references that I give you and study them for yourselves. We call our association Berean Bible Study Association, and we get the idea of Berea, the Bereans. We get that from the Bible. Those of Berea, the Bible said, were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said were true. The only way that you can tell whether the things that I speak are true or false is by checking it out in the Scripture. Now, we've been talking about what is known as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I've mentioned before, and I probably will do it again, that there is no such phrase in the Bible. I believe it's 6 times in a King James Bible there's the reference to the baptism with the Spirit, but no baptism of the Spirit. Now, would you read with me this morning in Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Before I go any further, I want to mention to you, these Ephesians were not the type people that worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the past. They had not blessed Israel. They had not helped Israel. They were not worthy of anything good. Notice them in chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12. That at that time, obviously the past of verse 11, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then the promises of God did not include the Ephesians, but they did include the Galatians. Look in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Galatians 4, 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. There were certain Gentiles in the world that God said that if they blessed the seed of Abraham and if they feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and worked righteousness, then God would bless them. An illustration of that fact. Hold on to Ephesians and go back to the book of Luke. In Luke, notice in chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Notice the reason. For he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and on and on. Why did Jesus go with them? Because this man was worthy that he do so. Why? Because the man blessed the seed of Abraham. The Galatians blessed the seed of Abraham. They were in the covenants of promise. So were the Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians and notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and on and on and on. They were in the covenants of promise. But not so these Ephesians to whom Paul writes the book of Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and in Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 12 again, that at that time passed. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Not so with Cornelius. Compare Cornelius of Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, notice in verse 1, Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always, and so forth and so on down the line. Obviously, Cornelius was in the covenants of promise. The Ephesians were not in the covenants of promise. God made no promises to the Ephesians. God made no covenants to save the Ephesians, nor did he promise them anything based upon their relationship with Israel. Their relationship with Israel was bad. They were not ally with Israel. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and therefore they were without Christ in the world, strangers from the covenants of promise. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent the 12 forth, and he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go not to the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, and so forth and so on. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, on and on and on. Now go back to Ephesians 4. These people, the Ephesians, had heard that Jesus Christ had died for them. They had believed the gospel and trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul was in prison at that time, and so he writes this letter to them. Try again with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, and on and on. They cannot be those that were saved out of the synagogue in Acts 19. When Paul went to Ephesus, Acts 19, he went into the synagogue and preached. In the synagogue were Jews, Jewish proselytes, and Gentiles that feared the Lord. And so as he preached unto them there, there were those among them that spoke evil of that way. And the Bible said that he separated the disciples. They came out of there, and he taught them in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. Well, that cannot be the bunch that is in the book of Ephesians. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to pray for you. He knew those that were disciples there. He knew those that he taught for 2 years there. So these cannot be the same as those. These people worshipped Diana when he was there. They worshipped an image, they said, that fell down from heaven. They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They denied the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they cursed the seed of Abraham. Therefore, they didn't deserve anything good, and yet, by the gospel, the fact that Christ died for the sins of all men, the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, by that truth, these people were saved, and the Spirit of God put them into the same body with Paul and Silas. And that's the mystery of Ephesians 3. The mystery of Ephesians 3 is not the joint body of Jew and Gentile. The mystery of Ephesians chapter 3 is that people such as we can be in the same body with Paul, Timothy, and so forth. I'll put on the board up here and I'll say, this is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the Bible said that he came unto his own. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 that during this time, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus Christ was rejected by Israel and crucified. He was buried and he rose, and after he rose, he stayed 40 days with the apostles and taught them. Now I'm going to come on out here and I'm going to say, here's the salvation of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul. The Lord saved the apostle. He saved him, his name, by his grace. Paul said that for Christ was preached unto him. He said, that's the gospel that I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul then went forth and he went into the synagogues. He went to the Jew first, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and also the Greek. And so during this period of time, he wrote both the Thessalonian letters, both the Corinthian letters, he wrote the Galatian letter, and the Roman letter, and established an assembly at Ephesus at that time, and I mentioned about those disciples at Ephesus before. All of these people, basically, were in the covenants of promise. They were Jews, and they were Gentiles that worshipped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They blessed the seed of Abraham, and God blessed them. I'm going to put out here on the other side, though, here are the Ephesians that Paul wrote the letter unto. He didn't write the letter unto them for them to gain something in Christ. He didn't write the letter unto them so that they could read the letter and get into the body of Christ. He didn't write the letter unto them so that they could become heirs or whatever. He wrote the letter unto them to show them what they already had in Christ. They didn't know this. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, look what he says to them. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Not just any Gentile, not Greeks that were in the promises. You Gentiles who were aliens from the commonwealth, strange upon us. You see, there are people that put us down real bad because we teach this when they themselves don't know what we're talking about. Read the passages. Look what he says. Verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Not just for Gentiles, but for you Gentiles. See, I have, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me, how that by revelation, the mystery. What is that mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Gentiles at Thessalonica, Corinth, Galatians, and Rome, and so forth, were not partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. They were partakers of those promises by blessing Israel. And had the Lord Jesus Christ set up his kingdom at that time, they would have gone into the kingdom on the basis of the gospel of the kingdom. Hold on to Ephesians 3 and turn back with me, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Now, in Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, dispensation of grace of God, what is it about? It's about you Gentiles. Bless God, that's what it says. All this stuff about the dispensation of the grace of God is the preaching of the gospel of Christ is nonsense. It has nothing to do with that in the sense that people try to take the verse and twist it and make it say something. Listen to me. The dispensation of the grace of God covers a period of time just as the millennium covers a period of time. And the dispensation of the grace of God was given for you Gentiles who were not in the covenants of promise. You were without all the dispensation that would have been given for these people here. In Matthew chapter 25, a reference to the coming of the Lord, he said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. For you believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. Look what the passage says. In verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What is the millennial reign about? It is a period of time called a kingdom prepared for Gentiles that bless the seed of Abraham. How do I know that? Well, look what it said. Verse 35, for I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered? In other words, when did we see you in the manner that you just spoke? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. There's no doubt about it. There's some Gentiles that are going into the kingdom. Why? Because they bless Israel in Israel's time of trouble. They bless Israel in the tribulation. They blessed Israel back here. They blessed Israel in the first century. And therefore, God had a covenant in Genesis chapter 12 that fit them. He said, Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you. Therefore, God had a covenant with you, and I'll bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. There's some people, as the Thessalonians, they met in the synagogues, folks. Don't you know that? They blessed the Jews. They were ally with the Jews, and in many cases they're called Greeks. All the Greeks are Gentiles, but all Gentiles are not Greeks. Most people misquote Romans 1:16. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Not all Gentiles. Nope. So, there was a body called the Body of Christ established through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It's called the Church, which is the Body of Christ. It's made up of Jews and Gentiles in one body. This body began with the Apostle Paul and those that believed that Christ died for their sins are in the body. There are those today that believe that those of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth are in that same body without having known it. That they went into that body because they repented and were baptized for remission of sins, and yet the Lord just included them in that body. That's nonsense. Say, well, the Lord put them in there without them knowing it. Then would you tell me that the Lord is putting Church of Christ preachers in the body of Christ today without them knowing it? I know a man right now that calls them water dogs. He's always got this sarcasm for them. What do? They believe in repentance and water baptism and keeping the commandments and so forth. And that's the doctrine of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the doctrine of Mark chapter 16 and so forth. And this same man I'm referring to believes that those of Acts 2 through 5, 6 of the church, which are the body of Christ, even though they didn't even know that Christ had died for their sins, and yet he believes that Church of Christ people today can't be in the body of Christ by believing the same thing. That's nonsense. If God put one group in there back there in Acts 2 through 5, 6, then he put those in today. Folks, that don't work. Now, one more time, lest you miss it. Ephesians chapter 3 in one hand, Matthew 25 in the other. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," the dispensation of the grace of God is given Paul to you. To you that hear my voice, to you who are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. When you came along, Israel was already lo am I. You sure as this world couldn't bless the seed of Abraham and get the blessing of God for doing it. Now, then the dispensation of grace of God is given to Gentiles that weren't in the covenants of promise. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Well, how about those of Matthew 25? Matthew 25, 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my kingdom, prepared out about it." Now, back in Ephesians. In Ephesians, had trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The middle wall of petition had been broken down. They didn't know it. Paul is writing the letter unto them to make them know that when they trusted Christ as their Savior, they became members of the church, which is the body of Christ, by the gospel. How did they become heirs with and part of a joint body of Jew and Gentile? How did they get there? By the gospel. By blessing the seed of Abraham? No. By repenting? No. By praying at the altar? No. How did they get there? They got there by the gospel. How do I know that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. What's the mystery? That the Gentiles, such as we that trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, believing that He died for our sins, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That would be fellow heirs with Paul and Timothy and Silas and so forth. And of the same body, the church, the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, "By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body." That church, that body of Christ is there, and those Ephesians became fellow heirs. Is this great? "I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the fact that those Ephesians who worshiped the idol, they didn't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped Dion, on and on. He's the promises and so forth by the God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped Dion, on and on. He's saying that those Ephesians, being in and partakers of the promises and so forth by the gospel, was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world. The fact that Christ died on the cross for the sins of the Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, and so forth is a mystery hid in the Scriptures. But the fact the Ephesians, who were not in the covenants of promise, without God, without hope in this world, the fact that they could be in that same gospel, in that same body by the gospel, is a mystery that was hid in God from the foundation of the world. It had never been known